The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We're getting
Kevin's
quite,
rocking.
Yeah,
this
Kevin's
morning.
Rocking here lately. We're getting quite the music. Anyway, welcome back, folks. We're actually not a rock show. We're actually a financial talk show. And we're pleased to have with us this morning Heidi Richardson. Heidi is Director, Global Investment Strategist for BlackRock. Now, Heidi's got a tough job. Trust me, I know this job. It's a very difficult job. Her responsibilities include relating the investment strategies team's research and investment. She's got to talk to their key institutional clients and their big individual clients, high net worth people. She's got to explain to them what their position is. Sometimes she's got to explain to them why the position's changed or what's going on. She has a great lineage, though, before joining BlackRock. She had 6 years at AllianceBernstein as Managing Director and Senior Portfolio Manager, specializing in non-U.S. equities. Before that, she was Vice President, Client Portfolio Manager with both Marsico Capital Management and Goldman Sachs. So we are pleased this morning to bring to you Ms. Heidi Richardson. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. That's quite a background you've got there. That's pretty impressive. That's a pretty impressive lineage. Anyway, you got a tough job, I'll tell you that, because I know sometimes those institutional folks or those high net worth people, they can be a little difficult to deal with. But we're interested this morning in your thoughts on emerging markets. I know your boss Russ Kestrich has been in the news a lot, and people seem to have gotten out of emerging markets, and they don't seem to be getting back in. Why is that, do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, I think people were just frightened by all the news over the last 12, 18 months of China having a hard landing and seeing some of the disruption of what's going on with geopolitics, the issue with Russia and Ukraine and ISIS and some of the things going on in the global landscape. So I think that they just had this fear of emerging markets, but actually, we're fairly bullish on emerging markets as an entry point right now based on just how cheap the relative valuations are.
So not does any of that stuff, I mean, because you've listed some pretty significant, in fact, you sound like the 6 o'clock news when you go through all that list of ISIS and all that stuff. Does any of that stuff really bother you, or do you think that those are just political events that are unlikely to have a long-term impact on the investment markets?
No, well, I think, you know, from geopolitics, there's always news and press release that causes some volatility in the market. But China in particular, I think, is an important topic because I think it's really misunderstood. It's the 10,000-pound gorilla. And if you think about China, the headline news is all about ghost cities and this hard landing and the real estate crisis and those types of just the negative news, negative press release. But when we look at China, the reforms that are going on in China are really strong in terms of what they're trying to do to change the overall economy from being an investment-led economy to a consumer-driven economy. And I think that's going to be great for the structural reform for the long term of China. It's avoided this hard landing that the news is talking about.
Right. Now, what about the disruption that's going on in Hong Kong, which seems to be a really significant issue right now? Is that likely to disrupt China's flow here a little bit? I mean, what do you think is going to come from that?
Well, it's been interesting because there's been a sell-off in Hong Kong, but the Shanghai equities have actually done really well. So, you know, there's that sort of bifurcation of the two different markets, and those exchanges are coming together with the Hong Kong-Shanghai Connect, which is going to be a real positive in terms of foreign investment flow coming into those markets. But if you think about what's going on in Hong Kong, I think you can almost equivalate it to the Occupy Wall Street and the riots, you know, where we've had that in the past in the U.S. marketplace, but there was no real leader of those and no real direction
right
of it. I think it's more noise in the market right now than anything that's going to be a long-term impact.
Okay, kind of an expression of frustration for the folks out there, I guess. Well, let me, I was going to start off. I got myself off in a wrong direction because I really wanted to start off with something very simple with you because you talk about China being an emerging market and then you talk about maybe a small country like Vietnam. Can you define for my listeners exactly what an emerging market really is?
Sure. It's interesting. From an investment standpoint, MSCI, the index provider, really defines sort of what countries fall into emerging markets and then what countries like Vietnam would fall into what we refer to as frontier markets. So truly those emerging of the emerging markets. So the broad-based emerging markets are things like Brazil, Russia, India, China, big globalized economies now, are still not to the levels that they would be considered developed economies like the U.S. and Europe and Japan. But they're on their way in terms of economic growth, in terms of inflationary environments, in terms of geopolitics, all of those. But they're big global economies. These frontier markets like Vietnam, like Argentina, like Nigeria, some of the African economies, the sub-Saharan economies, those are what we refer to as frontier markets. And so that's the sort of emerging of the emerging markets. And that's actually a really interesting asset class because it's a young consumer demographic. The economic growth rates in those economies are much faster than the rest of the world. And, it's really, for people that can take on a little bit more risk, the frontier market exposure in emerging markets, I think, is a really interesting place.
And how is the best way to play that? I mean, if a person were listening right now and saying, you know, how can I invest in those frontier markets, what would be your recommendation?
Well, there's some actively managed mutual funds in that space. And then we provide through the iShares brand in our firm, we provide the 100 most liquid names in the frontier market because it's all about liquidity in those regions. You know, they're very small investment universes, and so you want to make sure that if you get into it, you can get out at a reasonable price. So we have a product, the ticker is FM, but it's the frontier markets, and again, it's 100 most liquid names in those marketplaces. So if Nigerian Brewing and the Bank of Kuwait are some of the holdings in those, but big, large established companies really focused on the local economies and getting the benefit of the local economy.
Oh, sounds like a good product. And then what about the emerging markets? What would be the best play to, you know, to play the big boys, the Chinas of the world?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people have avoided investing in what we refer to as the BRICS. So it's the Brazil, Russia, India, China,
right,
the big global players. What I like is the entire investable market universe. And it's another index provided by MSCI. The investable market universe gives you exposure to small and mid-cap companies as well. And so those emerging companies within those particular regions. So you're not just going after, you know, the Petrobras's of the world, but you're actually having exposure to some of those small mom-and-pop shops with the small and mid-cap. And the investable market universe that we have is IEMG is the ticker on that, and it gives you full access. It's essentially 99% of the universe in emerging markets. So you can get exposure to South Korea, and you can get exposure to a lot of these other emerging economies that will benefit from the recovery in China.
Can you give me that symbol again? Because I couldn't quite hear it.
Sure. I'm sorry. It's IEMG. So I is an ice
IEMG,
cream.
Okay.
Is an Edward.
Right. Yep. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Brazilian elections are on Monday. And the market's been very reactive in a negative way. What's going on there? What should we expect? And we've got less than a minute. We'll have to take probably most of it into the next segment, if you don't mind. But anything we can say in 30 seconds?
Yeah, sure. In 30 seconds, Brazil's been all over the map. In fact, last month, Brazil was one of the best performing emerging markets for the month of August, rather. And it was looking like Marina Silva was taking the lead, and she's very pro-market. And people, I think, were really excited about the reforms that she had on deck. And now it looks like Dilma's back in the lead and back to sort of business as usual. And so the market sold off.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more when we come on the other side. Folks, now you can see what it's like to meet with somebody who speaks with the institutional investors. We'll be back in just a few moments with Heidi Richardson. Just to stay with us.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We're having an interesting show today because we've got with us Heidi Richardson. Heidi is global investment strategist for BlackRock. And so we're talking emerging markets, and we're going to move over to Europe here in just a minute. But before I do that, I'm going to move to Africa because Heidi is a marathoner.
Oh, really?
I think. Are you not?
I am not currently. I'm in a boot right now.
No, that's what I understand. But you're going to go run a marathon in Africa?
I've actually run a marathon in Africa, but my boyfriend and I are planning on doing the Kilimanjaro Marathon in March.
Okay, so wow. I just have to ask you, with this Ebola thing, is does this worry you?
You know, it's going more to Africa? I mean, no. In fact, especially where we're going, it's fairly isolated to Western Africa, and it seems like it's getting under control. If you've seen the news press lately, despite the Dallas flight, if you've seen the news press lately, it seems like it's being much more contained.
Okay. All right. Well, I just thought I'd ask. I was pretty shocked when I read that. I thought, wow, I don't know if I'd go to Africa. But anyway, I wish you luck and hope you'll recover and do well. You'll be running against some good people in Africa. They're the ones that always seem to win the Olympics, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, in fact, they just broke the marathon record of under a 2:03 marathon. So pretty
yeah.
exciting.
Yeah, I saw that. What is that, like a 14 and a half, 4.5 minutes a mile or something like that?
Yeah, I think.
Wow, that's
pretty
amazing.
Pretty impressive for 26.2 miles.
Very impressive. Okay. No, all right. I guess I should get back to the real world now. All right. Now, okay, let's move a little bit from emerging markets, if you don't mind. I'd like to ask you about Argentina. What's going to happen there? I think the minister resigned this morning. What's going to happen with Argentina, the debt and everything that's going on there? Do you know?
Yeah, actually, Argentina is one of those that's considered a frontier market. So as I talked about some of the emerging of the emerging markets, it was actually downgraded about a year ago from the broad-based emerging market index into this frontier market index. I would be cautious on Argentina. It's a very small economy, so I don't think there's going to be any carryover effects to any of the other Latin American economies, but I'd be very cautious on that. They've already defaulted on their debt and their bond issuance. So I don't think there's a lot of opportunity in that particular region.
Yeah, I would agree. I've got to ask you something before I move away from emerging markets, because I was reading your material, and there's something called the Fragile Five. Indonesia, Turkey, South Africa, Brazil, and India. What is the Fragile Five? What do you mean by that?
You know, there's actually a brokerage firm here in the U.S. Just made a reference about a year ago to those economies being very vulnerable to potentially rising interest rates in the U.S. marketplace because of the amount of debt that they had on the balance sheet and the reliance on foreign funding. It's sort of like the acronym of BRIC, you know, the Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And there's some of those countries are actually okay. Some of them are very fragile in terms of the overall economies. But I wouldn't focus so much on the Fragile Five. I think it's more, if you look at the entire landscape of emerging market, it's going to be very binary. Those countries that are running current account surpluses will continue to do well. Those countries that are running massive current account deficits are going to be ones that are struggling when the Fed stops this tapering and they start to raise interest rates. So countries in, you know, running current account surpluses like Taiwan and Korea will continue to thrive. But those with the deficits of Turkey and some of the other regions that you mentioned, South Africa, you know, will have some issues.
Yeah, I agree. All right. And speaking, you had mentioned the BRICS earlier, and I just want to ask you about Russia, because obviously that's a geopolitical mess of its own. Is it hands off on Russia for y'all, or do you... Are you investing there? Do you think it's an opportunity? What do you think about Russia?
You know, I think it will be an opportunity. I don't think it's an opportunity right now. And we do have a single country fund that you can invest in Russia directly and have the exposure there. The problem with Russia, if on the surface level, if you look at it, it's trading at a price-to-earnings basis of just over 4x earnings. I mean, that's incredibly cheap. It's one of the cheapest countries in the world,
yeah.
If not the cheapest country in the world. The broad-based index is trading at about 13 times. So just to put that in perspective, Russia's at 4x, the broad index is at about 13 times, U.S. is about 18 times. But it's cheap for a reason, because there is still so much geopolitical issue there. I would be very cautious on Russia. I think that eventually it's going to be an entry point because of the cheapness, but with the sanctions and the implications on Gazprom and Lukoil, the two biggest holdings in the index, I think that there could be some more downside risk there.
Okay, so not yet on Russia, but you're right, 4x. Wow, that's a fire sale.
Yes.
All right, now you mentioned during the break, which I was pretty shocked. I'm glad I was sitting down. You like Japan, and I don't get very many people on that like Japan. I mean, you're talking about an economy that's that's had zero interest rates for two decades. Why do you like Japan?
You know, Shinzo Abe and Abenomics. I mean, they've done a really good job in terms of, you know, they have three legs to the stool of what they're trying to do with the reforms. And all of these economies these days are all about the reforms. So if you think about Japan, they've had monetary policy reform, they've had fiscal policy reform, and now they have structural policy reform. And what I mean by structural policy reform is really allowing women to enter the labor force that, you know, in the past they weren't allowed to have particular jobs, reducing the taxation for small businesses and mid-sized businesses to actually enter into the marketplace and encouraging new businesses to come into the marketplace. I think the reforms that are going on in Japan, much like the reforms that are going on in China, are going to be really good for the long-term economy.
Wow, good. That sounds great. Well, I haven't liked Japan. I haven't invested in it quite a while, but now you've got me interested. All right, now, I've got to know about Europe. There's been some growing concern that Germany's weakening a little bit. France seems to be into deflation. At least that was the official announcement I read a couple of weeks ago. What's going on with the Eurozone?
Yeah, you know, I would be very cautious on the Eurozone. I think there could be some more downside risk there. And again, that's one of those that eventually it'll be the entry point. But, you know, we're watching the Eurozone very, very closely in terms of the policy. We've got the inflationary environment. The numbers came out. The estimate for inflation in Europe was 0.3. So, you know, they're on the verge of potentially a deflationary environment. And I get asked all the time, why is deflation bad if prices are going down? Why is that bad? Well, it's bad because as a consumer, you're not going to buy something if you know that in a week or two it's going to be cheaper. And as a corporation, you're not going to invest if you know that input costs or labor costs are going to be cheaper as you move forward. So things just stall out. So I think from an economic growth standpoint, there's an issue there. And then if you just think about the banking system and the quality of the banking system, I mean, the issues with the Portuguese bank a couple of weeks ago or now I guess a month ago shows you that there's still some fragility in the banking system. So I would just be cautious. I don't think it's an entry point.
Okay. One last question. I've got less than a minute. Does BlackRock have a position on interest rates? When do you guys think the rates are going to go up here next year?
Yeah, actually, I think it could potentially, the Fed will stop tapering this month. I think we could potentially see interest rates rise in the end of the first quarter.
Wow, that's great. All right, thanks. Thank you so much, Heidi. And if you're ever down here, let us know. We'd love to buy you and your boyfriend dinner. So thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you. We'll be back in just a moment, folks. Stay with us.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.